Chapter 76, Two Princes and a Riddle. "Why are you taking the jacket apart?" Peril asked her husband in concern. "I'm checking to see if anything is hidden inside the lining," the Moral explained. "You see, in times of war, army officers often sew diamonds and precious stones that they lay their hands on into the lining of their uniforms for safekeeping. Perhaps this jacket has something valuable hidden inside." Sure enough, the Moral discovered a secret pocket tightly sewn into a corner of the garment beneath the lining. Tearing it open, he found a small sack filled with sparkling diamonds and precious gems. Another few days passed, and the captain had still not returned. The family now understood that Hashem had sent them the captain and his precious jacket to save them from their poverty. The Maral and his wife gave a large part of the treasure to Peril's father, Reb Shmuel Reich, so that he could restart his business. Reb Shmuel could not thank his daughter and son-in-law enough. He immediately set off to try to build his business once again. Within a short time, he was awarded 2 contracts from the government to supervise the rebuilding of forts and other buildings that had been destroyed or badly damaged by the war. Reb Shmuel was blessed with success, and he became a wealthy and prominent businessman once again. He returned to his old habit of giving tzedakah with a generous heart. He was also restored to his position as one of the leading figures of Prague's Jewish community. Now that his family had regained its material wealth, the Maral was free to concentrate on his studies with peace of mind. His wife Peril closed her bakery and busied herself with her favorite activities, learning Torah and Jewish history. The Maral supported and encouraged her Torah learning, and they even held a regular shiur together. Peril learned Torah at least 5 hours every day. Later, when the Maral became famous throughout the Jewish world, he received a steady stream of letters from communities and individuals from far and near. He was asked all sorts of questions in halacha, gemara, matters of faith, and the like. Peril, who was very knowledgeable in these matters at this point, would read the questions to her husband and would sometimes compose his scholarly answers for him. She wanted to save her husband some of his precious time. The Maral never had enough time for the many things he wished to accomplish. In those days, King Ferdinand I lived in Prague. He was emperor over the lands of Bohemia, Moravia, and Silesia. King Ferdinand and the Maral's father-in-law, the wealthy Reb Shmuel Reich, became close friends. Reb Shmuel would visit the palace as often as he pleased, and the emperor would ask his advice on many matters, business and otherwise. The king's advisors and close officers were horribly jealous of Reb Shmuel Reich's close relationship with the king. Nor could they bear to see a Jew receiving the king's royal honor and trust. They tried their best to ruin Reb Shmuel's plans at every opportunity. They spread rumors about him in the palace in the hope of damaging his friendship with the king. Their efforts, however, were fruitless. Ferdinand was wise enough to understand that they came from a place of jealousy, not truth, and he refused to pay attention to these attacks on Reb Shmuel's reputation. Overall, King Ferdinand was kind to the Jews in his kingdom. Years passed, and the winds of change began to blow in the kingdom. A feeling of deep hatred for the Jews, without cause and without any logic, had spread throughout Europe. It even took root in the king's palace in Prague. The year 5316, nearly 500 years ago, was a particularly harsh year for the Jews of Europe. In Rome, the Catholic Christians, under the orders of the head of their church, an evil pope, began to publicly burn every copy of the Talmud and other sacred Svarim that they could lay their hands on. At the same time, the Catholic Inquisition sent its agents far and wide to spread a deadly hatred for Jews in all cities, countries, and kingdoms. The situation for the Jews of Europe grew more dangerous with each passing day. Jew haters did not hesitate to loudly and publicly announce their opinions about the Jews. They openly declared that the world would soon be free from all Jews forever. Chas v'shalom. Slowly, without meaning to, King Ferdinand found that he too was being influenced by the unending efforts of the Jew haters. His own advisors and ministers urged him at every opportunity to issue evil decrees against the Jews in his kingdom. Their efforts were successful, and the Jews were forced to pay extremely high taxes. However, the king refused to go so far as to expel the Jews from his lands. Around a year after these efforts began, in 5317, Ferdinand called the leaders of the Jewish communities in his kingdom to a meeting in his palace. He told them that he could no longer sign a document of protection for the Jews. Until that point, he had signed a decree each year that protected the Jews in his kingdom from harm. Anyone who attacked the Jews would be punished as if he had attacked the king. Without this order, the Jews were like a flock of helpless sheep abandoned in the wild, without a shepherd to protect them from the wolves and bears. The Jews of Prague and throughout the entire kingdom of Bohemia were terrified at the changes. They did not know where to turn for help. This time, even their wise rabbanim and powerful leaders could find no solution. They felt deadly danger approaching, with no escape in sight. While these frightening changes were taking place, another event occurred that seemed to have no connection to the safety of the Jewish people. In fact, hardly anyone knew about it. King Ferdinand I had many children. His eldest son was Maximilian II, who later became the emperor after his father's death. The second son was Prince Ferdinand, who carried the same name as his father and was known by his royal title, the Archduke of Bohemia. The younger Prince Ferdinand had a close friend named Johann. Like himself, Johann was royalty of the nearby land of Moravia. Both princes, Ferdinand and Johann, were bright and well-educated in many subjects. As a hobby, they would often challenge each other with difficult riddles in astronomy and mathematics. During one of Ferdinand's many visits to Johann's home in Moravia, the two princes came across a difficult mathematical problem that neither of them could solve. They spent days working on it, but finding no solution. Eventually, the royal friends agreed to a strange bet. They decided that whichever of them would find an answer to the impossible riddle first would become the spiritual master of the other. From then on, the loser would always be considered the winner's spiritual servant. Ferdinand and Johann gave each other half a year to find an answer. For weeks and months, Prince Ferdinand could think of nothing but the bet. He did not care whether he became Johann's master, but he was truly desperate to avoid Johann becoming his master. As the days ticked by, he grew anxious and worried.